Welcome to the tax update for 14th June, and in this month's edition we have four items, two of which HMRC won and two of which the taxpayer won, but also within two of them there's criticism of the way the appeal was conducted, and in particular in one case the taxpayer was treated leniently and sympathetically, and in the other it's quite implicit that HMRC deserved the criticism which was levied at them. But in the first case today, we look at a case involving Mr. and Mrs. Hills, the dentist, who bought a freehold unit in Cardiff. And they believed that the option to tax, which the vendor had exercised, was invalid, either because the vendor was a different legal person or because it had been exercised retrospectively without HMRC's permission. It's an interesting argument. One can understand that Mr. and Mrs. Hills viewed the £130,000 of additional VAT which would be paid if there was an option to tax as an important issue. So the case is interesting because it looks at paragraph 3, subsection 9 of Schedule 10, VAT Act 1994, about the failure to have prior permission from HMRC, and it also looks at Article 13 of the 6th Directive, and whether or not HMRC's ruling that they had to pay VAT met the principles of EU law, including reasonableness, fiscal neutrality, legitimate expectation and legal certainty. Now, that's an attractive argument until one realises that the view that was being taken by Mr. and Mrs. Hills, the dentist, purchasing this, was not shared by the vendor, Dr. Patel, nor was it shared by HMRC, who had given no assurance that the sale of the property would be anything other than a taxable transaction. Because of that, the upper tribunal ruled that there was no legitimate expectation which would help Mr. and Mrs. Hills, and making this decision even worse for them, they're going to have to face costs, which is something which must be taken into account when pursuing any appeal. Very briefly, Spot the Ball was ruled by the Court of Appeal to be an exempt gambling activity within Group 4 of Schedule 9 of the VAT Act, because Spot the Ball is a game within the Gambling Act 1968, and therefore it did qualify for exemption. As usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes which in themselves contain links should further research be done on the items covered. But the third case is a good news case because Jai3 Building Solutions had a dispute with HMRC as to whether the cost of demolishing and building a new property could benefit from zero rating. And the VAT at issue was some £40,069. HMRC were criticised in this case because they should have brought with them the planning consent, which was referred to by HMRC in the bundle of arguments presented to the tribunal, but it was absent. And actually, the absence of this critical document could have caused the appeal to fail. But the tribunal was lenient to the taxpayer, who was not a tax expert, and issued a direction for the production of the document. Cutting a long story short, the taxpayer had not respected in full the detail of the planning consent, but the dispute was whether the retention of several walls amounted to a prohibition under Note 18, or whether the work done on the construction of a new property could benefit from zero rating under Group 5 of Schedule 8 of the VAT Act 1994. The good news is that the facts showed the new property had both a larger footplate and was 90% larger than the original coach house, which it, shall we call it, replaced. So it wasn't a replacement of an existing property, it was actually a new build. And the good news is that it got the benefit of zero rating. But at 32 pages, it's fairly long, and it takes till paragraph 119 to reach that conclusion that it does qualify for zero rating. Final case today is about whether or not the University of Huddersfield had entered a scheme to enable it to recover the VAT and the construction of buildings and refurbishment and whether that scheme was in fact an abuse of rights. Now, in fairness to the taxpayer, the decision given in Halifax had not been handed down at the time all of this occurred in 1996. But criticising the taxpayer, the tribunal observed that some of the answers and detail given to HMRC's question were lacking in correctness. You heard me correctly that this building occurred in 1996 and it came before the VAT tribunal in 2002, after which it was referred to the European Court, and it has taken 20 years for this matter to be resolved. The VAT at issue was $612,500 on a building costing $3.5 million. And the scheme, which was created by KPMG, is an elaborate scheme making use of wholly owned companies and discretionary trusts, the detail of which I cover in the notes. The question of whether an abuse of right has occurred is reliant on two tests, and there's little doubt that in this case the relief being sought by the exempt university was outside the spirit of the law, and it inserted transactions such as the creation of the discretionary trust and the use of a wholly owned property company in order to ensure that it could obtain a VAT advantage. The decision also reviews a number of interesting cases in this area, and of course it's worthwhile to remember that whereas this case involved a tax avoidance scheme which failed, now, if such a scheme were done, you would actually end up suffering not only the tax, but also a penalty. An interesting observation from the Court of Appeal judgment is that the taxpayer tried to say if they'd done it a different way, using arm-length financing, they could have achieved the same result. And the Court of Appeal rejected this argument on the basis that they decide things on the facts of what happened and not in some fictional creation. Therefore, the scheme was doomed to fail and the VAT was not recoverable to the university. Thanks very much for listening.